Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning, from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm. Before we get into today's show, which is going to be a very delayed mailbag show, I just want to apologize for not having shows the last 2 days. I'm a little behind the podcast, or inside the podcast note here. I caught stomach flu. I have not been feeling great. Could not talk. Really was just sapped of energy, and really just could not do anything the past couple days. I've been in bed, I've been sleeping a lot, and just not been feeling very good. So just wanted to let you guys know that's why I haven't been shows the last 2 days. We'll be back to every day this week, be back to daily next week, have some fun stuff lined up as we're getting closer to the season. So again, I apologize if there's anything else that happens or I get sick again or something like that in the future. I'll obviously do a podcast so you guys know, but thanks for understanding. I appreciate guys' listenership. And just before we get into it, just want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. So make sure you get download that app, check them out. Great way to buy and sell tickets. So, as I said, going to be a mailbag show. Going to ask her 3 questions today, and then we'll get out of here. This will be a very quick in-and-out kind of thing, but I think there's some good questions this week. As always, thanks to everyone who has submitted questions on Twitter to at LockedOnCavs or on iTunes. We actually got an iTunes question a couple weeks ago, via email or to my Twitter or however you've done it. So we'll get started. Perry Kellis sent us an email and said, "Do you see a scenario where Kay Felder and Jordan McRae, play at the same time, or will they not see court time together?" It's a good question. I think in the preseason, they're for sure going to play a lot together. They've been the starting backcourt to mixed success. McRae was meh against the Hawks the other day, which is something that I think is kind of troublesome because he just looked really, really bad. He got to the free throw line, but it is what it is. I don't see them playing together a lot once the regular season starts. For one, they are both players that I think are really going to benefit from playing with the better players in this team. So McRae, you want him to be maximized. You want him with LeBron or Kyrie or guys like that. With Kay Felder, you probably want him next to LeBron so that he can be supplemented, so he has some protection on the floor in case he gets in trouble as a ball handler. You need those guys to be supported by the better players on this team because they're not the best players on this team. There are younger guys that need development, that need time to grow, that need support. They are in the same boat as everyone not named Kyrie and Kevin Love. They need to be with the starters. They need to be with the 3 best players on the team to really be maximized. They're definitely both going to play, I think, at this point. I haven't loved what I've seen to Tony Douglas. I think Feller's definitely outplayed him. I think McRae's definitely going to play, especially if J.R. Smith isn't back. So, to me, I think you'll see them both play. I don't think you'll see them play together. That does not make the most sense in the world to me. It would be a little bit surprising to see them play together. It'd be injuries or a night off. I think you could see it on a one-off night where Kyrie sits or something like that. But it's just not something I would expect to see a lot of. I don't think there's really a need for it. I think it'd be bad if they did it. I just don't think they're there. I think they're guys that are gonna, for sure, again, going to play, but not guys that I think are really going to play together. I just don't think it makes the most sense in the world. We got a question via email from Kevin K. Kevin asked, Timmy Fumazgas looks great with the Lakers. Did the Cavs make a mistake signing him? For me, I think they could still use his rim protection and his mobility inside and actual size, that he'd be better than Birdman. Well, healthy Mozgov, I think, would be better than Birdman. But the thing with Mozgov is that, A, he was not very good last year. It was very clear at the end of the regular season that he was not going to come back. I think we all saw the writing on the wall there. Didn't play much, if at all, in the postseason run. He's a guy who has looked good in Lakers. I mean, there's a Vine that I think Dime Mag posted the other day of him rolling to the rim and just looking very spry. Looking like a guy who looks healthy. He looks a little bit confident. And that's another thing with Timo. It's a lot about his confidence. It's a lot about how good he's feeling on that day and if he's mentally in a good place. He really, really benefited that first year, which is probably the best basketball he's ever played in his life, from LeBron and the team really just believing in him. And last year when he was struggling and LeBron got hard on him, he just seemed to break a little bit. That's simplifying it. That is not to say that Timmy Fumazgas was like a mentally weak person, but he's a guy who really, really needs that support. And I think the Lakers are a good environment for him. I think Walton's a guy who's not going to, you know, come down on him too hard. He's going to get to play because he's just going to get the plan figured out. And, you know, again, would he be an upgrade over Birdman? Sure, but because Birdman's not really that good at this point. But he's also a guy that I think has his limitations. He, for what he got, the Cavs definitely should not have tried to pay him that. That would have been crazy. Timofey Mozgov is not for the Cavs and what they need and everything and just what their cap space is at. I mean, not really worth that money. I mean, if you want to go listen to a podcast outside of our network, Jason Lloyd for That Can Be Can Journal was on Chris Mannix's podcast, and he was talking about the Cavs' money this summer, and he was talking about how they didn't think Dele was going to get $39 million and all this stuff because they really, really planned to spend the money from Mozgov on Dele and JR, and that obviously didn't happen. Dele was signed with the Bucks, and they signed and traded them, and then ended up getting the trade exception that got them like Dunleavy, and then JR Smith is still unsigned. So I think just free agent number is wild. You know, they were probably never going to keep. They were probably never going to keep Mozgov, based on how we play. He was just always going to be out of their price range, and stuff like that. Ray Jr. Rahim on Twitter asks, could McRae, playing this well, put the idea in Griff's head that we don't need JR? He says, I sure hope not. No, that is not on the table. That is not something that I would say is even remotely possible. That would be crazy. J.R. Smith is a much better player than Jordan McRae. He's a better defender. He's a better shooter. He's better at really every part of basketball. Just because they believe in him does not mean that they are going to really think he's better than JR. That is something that I don't think is on the table or should be on the table. But he is going to play a lot if and when JR is inside for the regular season, and for the start of the regular season, rather. So we'll see. Not 100% sure what that's going to look like yet, but after this, I would expect to see him play, but I wouldn't expect to see him play, you know, a ton or really eat up minutes that JR is going to get otherwise. So we're going to take a quick break here from SeatGeek, and then we will be back, and I'll give you a little breakdown of what's to come, and I will just give you guys a little breakdown of where the rotations and how the preseason has gone so far. Hey everyone, I just want to give you a quick word from our sponsor, SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell tickets on your phone for any concert or game you want to go to. Right when you open the app, you can see how good each ticket is. Tickets are green or red based on if they're a good or bad deal. You can see the view from the seat. You can see exactly what it's going to cost you. There are no hidden fees like there are with other apps. And it's the easiest way to buy tickets. You can buy them right in the app, save them to your phone, print them off if that's your jam. It's a great way to get tickets. Now, myself, I'm going to probably get Indians tickets for the playoffs. The ALC is sold out in minutes. And SeatGeek is the way I'm going to go get tickets to go see the Indians play during the playoffs. I want to see them maybe win a World Series in Cleveland, and that would be great. And today, my listeners can save $20 on a mail-in rebate on their first purchase by using the code LOCAVS. That's LOCAVS. That's for Locked On Cavs. Just enter it in under the settings tab in the app, and you'll save $20 off your first purchase. And again, SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell tickets for any game or concert that you want to go to. It's that easy, right on your phone. Download the app for free today. And we're back. Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring our podcast. They're a great sponsor. We love having them with us and in the whole Locked On Network. So shout out to SeatGeek. Before we wrap this up, we're going to go for about 10 more minutes around or so. The Cavs preseason, if you're frustrated by watching them, and I've gotten a couple emails about this. I've talked to some friends about this in real life. And I was just going to give you guys a word of caution. LeBron's going to play in Columbus next week. He's not going to play otherwise. There's no need for him to. There's not really a need for really anybody of notoriety to play. Mike Dunleavy does not need to play. Richard Jefferson does not need to play. Schumpert, I could say, maybe needs to play, but I get not playing him. LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, who's battling a sore foot, does not need to play. These guys need to rest. Their job is to get to June. It's not to win preseason games. If you're watching preseason basketball, just know that it is lower quality and know that it's just going to be frustrating. The only two things I think that have really mattered in preseason so far are this. Kay Felder has looked pretty good. He's outplayed Tony Douglas. He's having some issues navigating inside, but he's making sharp passes. He's doing some very dynamic things with the ball in his hands, and that to me is encouraging. To me, that has been the best thing he's done so far. And I think it's a really, really good sign that he's playing well now and getting some confidence now, because I think once the regular season starts, because Tyronn Lue said last week that the McRae point guard experiment is sort of over, Felder might be the backup point guard on day one. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought for sure McRae was going to eat up those minutes, but it looks like Kay Felder really might be that dude on the first day of the season. Otherwise, McRae has played pretty well. That's my other takeaway here. He didn't look good against the Hawks. Did most of his work at the free throw line. I think he made like one shot from the field on 14 attempts. Was not a particularly good player in that game, but I think he's fine. I think he's looked pretty smooth. He's had that really great dunk on Bismack Biyombo that I recommend you go check out. And to me, that is the most interesting thing about the preseason. It is not great. Those things are sort of, they're not the most exciting thing, but this is what it's like when you're watching a NBA champion team play in the preseason. That is what you get. You do not get high quality, extreme LeBron basketball in the preseason. It's not what you're ever going to get in that case. So just if you're frustrated by it, just wait for the regular season. Now, quick run. This is my guess of the rotation, and then I'll mention some quick LeBron news, and then we'll get out of here. This will be the starting five, I think, on opening night. Kyrie, Schumpert, LeBron, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, provided this foot's okay. And then I think here are the five guys I expect to see play, because I think they're going to give some run. McRae is going to play. I think Felder's going to have to play. RJ, Dunleavy, and Birdman. And Channing Frye. Not Birdman. Birdman might play a little bit. I could see the team running an 11-man rotation to start the year to rest guys. But right now, that's what you're looking at. That is going to be your Cavalier squad. You're not looking at anything drastic. You're not looking at anything particularly, innovative or particularly, overwhelmingly great. You have the guys you'd expect. You have the changes from last year's rotation, and it's kind of a smaller, shorter roster anyway. James Jones isn't going to play. Dante Jones probably isn't going to play very much. So it is what it is. It is just really waiting for JR to get back, and then you'll see. And again, there hasn't really been much in JR. He's been in Cleveland. He went to a Browns, Indians, and Ohio State game in the span of like 3 days. He went to three of them, 3 days in a row, I think, with other Cavs. So he's here. He's in Cleveland, so it's a little interesting that he's just kind of hanging around. And lastly, LeBron, there's been talk about the CBA being avoided, lockout being avoided, rather. And LeBron came out and said that he feels that negotiations are in a good spot. And if LeBron, who's very involved in the union, is saying that, that's a good sign. That is a good thing for negotiations. And that's a good thing. I mean, one of the things that I think has been shaping my mindset in the NBA is that there was probably going to be a lockout next year. I just assumed it was going to happen, but it does not look like we're going to get there. I mean, it looks like next summer is going to be a normal summer where a bunch of money gets spent in July. Everything goes off as normal. Season starts as normal. There's no compressed season. That, to me, would be a great scenario. It would make my summer and your summer as an NBA fan definitely a lot better than just waiting and hearing about legal stuff, which obviously matters because players should get paid, but if they can avoid it and they still feel like they're getting a good deal, that is definitely a good thing. So just keep an eye out for that. Maybe it'll get announced in a few months. Guys like Woj and Zach Lowe are gonna, and Howard Beck are going to give you the details on that. So follow those guys. Search for the information, and it's definitely a good sign. So thank you guys again for listening. Thanks for SeatGeek responding to the show. Again, I apologize. Nothing I could really do about being sick, but I'm back to daily. Still getting over this a little bit. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm drinking a lot of water, but I'll get there. I'll be healthy. Be ready for opening night in a couple weeks. I, for one, cannot wait for actual basketball to be back. So again, this has been Chris Manning, the Mock Cavs. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.